Hello everyone, and thank you for attending the Transgender Day of Remembrance Vigil 2022. We gather here every year to hear from speakers from community organisations and members of our community. And at the end of the night, we will listen to the names read out by people. These people have lost their lives due to violence for their gender identity. This year, 327 names will be read. This is a decrease from last year by 48 people reported, although we believe the number is much higher due to lack of reporting. Last night, a mass shooting in a bar injured 18 people and killed 5. And as we gather, more names are being added to the list already for the 2023 vigil. 94 people on this list did not have known ages. 124 people on this list were shot. 96 people's lives were taken in the middle of the street. There were 18 people on this list who worked in the beauty industry as hairdressers and stylists. 8 people on this list made their careers being artists and performers. It was believed that 65% of the murders this year may have been racially motivated. And this is a repeat of last year, as well as feminine presenting people and trans women being 95% of the victims this year. Poetical was a trans woman who was shot inside her vehicle late on Saturday, 2nd of October. As a result of police misgendering her throughout the investigation, her murder did not come to light until nearly 2 weeks later. Asika died in hospital as a result to being beaten after she refused to go to conversion therapy. 6 people have been arrested for this, including her own mother. Michelle was stabbed to death by a man after he discovered she had HIV. These are 3 of the names on a list of 327 names that you will hear later tonight, while a lot of the names on that list are still unknown. Trans people are still being denied safe housing, safe employment, and forced into the sex industry and denied access to healthcare. Every year, more names are added than we like to think is possible. We live in a world where people are still trying to deprive equal opportunity of safety and joy to trans people. So I invite you all here to stand with me tonight and say no more. Help promote trans people to have opportunities, love, warmth and connect with each other. In advance, I'd like to thank all who are with us, including members of the trans community who've given up the time tonight. B North, Newcastle City Council, LGBT Plus Northern Social Group, Trans Lives Steering Group, Northern Lights MCC, Children North East, North East Against Racism, Report Out, Diversity Role Models and Northern Pride. I'd like to introduce the first speaker, which is Kat from LGBT Plus Northern Social Group.
Hello, my name's Kat. My pronouns are she, they, and I'm here on behalf of LGBT Plus Northern Social Group. I'm reading 2 pieces from 2 of my favourite people in the whole wide world. Firstly is a piece by my son. He wrote this for Trans Parents Day. Having a non-binary parent is not much different for me than having a mum or a dad. They are as loving and as kind as any other parent would be to their child. However, many people I first meet automatically assume I have cisgendered parents. This is fine, as it's the normal assumption to make. However, it shouldn't be normal. People should be taught about things like transitioning at a young age to expand their plane of knowledge. If the Prime Minister manages to remove trans rights from the Equalities Act, hate crime against trans people and almost certainly death rates will soar. We need to protest this and ensure that this never happens for the life and the security of transgender people in the UK. Secondly, T, my spouse, could not be here tonight, but I will be reading this piece from them. My thoughts on Trans Day of Remembrance seems to change each year. When I first started to be involved, I felt too sad to stand here and talk because I'd just get choked up. Now I feel anger. I feel angry for the 327 trans and gender diverse people on the list this year. Those that have had their lives cut short, all because they were living as their true selves. And many more who have not been included on this list. I also feel fear. In this current climate where our Prime Minister wants to take trans rights out of the Equalities Act, in this current climate where our government haven't put a ban on trans conversion therapy, in this current climate where our lives, our pure existence, is being disregarded so much that I fear that this number will drastically grow. This year, we've seen countries legalise LGBTQI people, and we'll celebrate that. But how free are they, and for who? It is all LGBTQI people. We are not free until we are all free. I can stand here today and talk to you because I have the fire that is fueled by fascists, most of them being our government. I have fire that is fueled by my friends and family who support me through my grievances and kickbacks at society that would be happier we shut down and shut up. I have fire because of my allies who show up for me and my community. I have people by my side who are shouting louder and screaming for change. We have organisations like Northeast Against Racism, Northern Pride, Rainbow at Newcastle University, and we all need to scream together. We're all here crying for our trans siblings who have been taken too early. We need to stand up and shout back because we're done with the crap media coverage. We're done with transphobic governments, and we're done with J. Rowling and people like her. Thank you.
Next, I would like to introduce Katie from Diversity Role Models.
Hi, I'm Katie. My pronouns are they, them. And my background is in secondary maths teaching. Diversity Role Models is a charity that I volunteer for. And a large part of what we do are student workshops in local schools, where we, as LGBTQ plus role models, go into the classroom to speak about our lived experiences to young people. This is something that I couldn't have even envisioned happening when I was at school. Even in the years after Section 28 was repealed, I didn't know any out LGBT plus staff members or students. LGBT plus identities were totally silent, erased from every aspect of the curriculum and wider school life. These days, however, things are different. There's no doubt that the trans and non-binary community have now reached a point of unprecedented visibility in society and in our schools. There's a paradox, though, associated with trans visibility, which is that there's a correlation between positive media representations of trans and non-binary community and an increase in verbal, physical and legislative violence directed towards that community. The greater the trans visibility, the more ruthless the backlash. The media capitalises on people's fear by telling us the story that trans people are always either victims or villains, instead of giving us real, nuanced depictions of our vibrant and diverse community. Stereotypes and tropes in the media both reflect and reproduce the cultural narrative around trans issues, which ultimately informs government legislation. It's almost exactly 10 years since Lucy Meadows, a primary school teacher from Lancashire, finally came out to her school as a trans woman after years of transitioning in secret at home. Her school was supportive. Just before the Christmas holidays in 2012, they sent a letter about staff changes home with the students, which included a staff member leaving and others changing their hours. The statement about Lucy's transition simply said, "Mr. Upton has recently made a significant change in his life and will be transitioning to live as a woman. After the Christmas break, she will return to work as Miss Meadows." However, within days, Lucy was hounded, first by the local press, then national newspapers. One Daily Mail column in particular, written by Richard Littlejohn, led the way for other pieces. It focused on the devastating effect of her transition on the pupils she taught and suggested that the school was failing in its duty of care by not protecting pupils from Lucy's transition. Misgendering Lucy throughout, Littlejohn stated, "He isn't entitled to project his personal problems onto impressionable young children," and concluded that if he cares so little for the sensibilities of the children he is paid to teach, he's not only trapped in the wrong body, he's in the wrong job. Lucy complained to the Press Complaints Commission in early January 2013 of harassment from the press. Photos of Lucy and her family prior to her transition and drawings of her by a year 5 child in her class at school were lifted from social media and the school website and used in the press without her consent. She had to leave her house by the back door, travelling to school very early in the morning and home again very late in the evening to avoid the pack. Lucy Meadows died by suicide in March 2013. Now, I know children. They are remarkably accepting and understanding of those who are different. And I am confident that Lucy's death had a far more devastating effect on the pupils that she taught than her transition ever did. At the inquest into Lucy's death, The coroner was appalled by the media onslaught Lucy faced in the preceding months and recommended the tightening of guidelines about press intrusion into public lives. This was a character assassination that brought into serious question the legitimacy of certain career paths for trans individuals and positioned a well-liked primary school teacher as inherently dangerous to children just because she was trans. Where are we now, 10 years later? Well, this time it isn't the targeted character assassination of a single trans woman in the press. It's vitriol towards the entire community. Almost every day, there's something else. Attacks on charities supporting trans and gender non-conforming youth, articles vilifying teachers for supporting trans and non-binary students, or statements from yet another celebrity publicly declaring they will stand with J.K. Rowling. Last weekend, at the National Education Union's annual LGBT Plus conference, over 400 LGBT Plus educators came together to learn and to celebrate LGBTQ Plus inclusive education. I met many inspirational trans and non-binary educators who are open with their colleagues and students. For them, bringing their authentic selves into the classroom each day is vital to their own well-being, and they give students access to a more diverse representation of identities in their lives. We need more trans and non-binary educators like Lucy Meadows in our classrooms, and more volunteers for charities like Diversity Role Models, who are working to improve trans and non-binary representation in schools. We need to celebrate and appreciate these amazing individuals who need all of us now more than ever to openly stand with them.
And next, I'd like to introduce Alice from B North.
I usually talk from my heart, but I'm reading from a script today, which I wrote from my heart. Hello, my name is Alice. My pronouns are she, her, and I'm transgender. Many of you know me already. I'm the person who walks across Newcastle on my own on a match day with the trans flag. I volunteer for B, often I'm the first point of contact. While we're gathered here to pay respects and to remember those from around the world who have lost their lives for being transgender, rest in power. We are also gathered to highlight to the world that we are losing our lives to transphobia for simply being ourselves. I would like to take a moment to remember all those who have died from suicide because of prejudice and discrimination in society. The people who were too scared to be themselves in a society that says that it's wrong, it's shameful, it's embarrassing to be happy in yourself. The people whose families were rejected them and whose parents, instead of showing love, have turned their backs on their children simply for being transgender. The name-calling and violence on the streets, the discrimination in the workplace and in accessing healthcare on the NHS, the proliferation of hate groups in society and the daily hate in newspapers, social media and the utterances of politicians that has contributed to an increase in hate crime in the UK year on year. People like the 12-year-old transgender child who committed suicide in Milton Keynes because of classroom bullying, and the transgender woman, Alice Lipman, who took her own life after waiting years on an NHS waiting list. Rest in power. But there are many who have took their own life who we do not know about. Those too scared to be themselves. Let's take a moment to remember those who have died from suicide because of prejudice and discrimination, many of whom will never know their name. Rest in power. This year, 327 trans and gender diverse people were reported murdered. Cases from Estonia and Switzerland were reported for the first time. Both victims were migrant black trans women. 95% of those murdered globally were trans women or trans feminine people. Half of murdered trans people whose occupation is known were sex workers. Of the cases with data on race and ethnicity, racialized trans people made up 65% of the reported murders. 36% of the trans people reported murder in Europe were migrants. 68% of all the murders registered happened in Latin America and the Caribbean. 29% of the total happening in Brazil. In the United States, a trans person is murdered every week. In Brazil, it's almost two a week. 35% of the murders took place on the street and 27% in their own residence. Most of the victims who were murdered were between 31 and 40 years old. Five were under 18. Rest in power. These represent the people who we know about. The transgender people who were recorded as transgender in countries that collect such figures. The true figure is much higher. Let's take a moment to remember those who have been murdered that we do not know. Rest in power. Today is a sad day. It's a day to remember those who have died. It's also a day to reflect on those... It's also a day to reflect on who have died. The intersectionality between gender, race, occupation and migrant status. In the United Kingdom, we are moving in the wrong direction. Our media attacks us daily with misinformation, hate and often blatant lies. Employment discrimination is shockingly high. Our politicians use us as a political football trying to outdo each other on who can promise to roll back our rights the fastest. And a politician can't talk about the issues that truly matter to people without a journalist trying to catch them out with transphobic dog whistle questions. Our councils and political parties are cowards who back down at the fear of litigation instead of using all the evidence that exists to defend transgender people from gender-critical ideas that have publicly endorsed the elimination of transgender people in society, celebrated and defended in the mainstream media for having done so. It can sometimes feel overwhelming, and it's having a negative impact on many transgender people's lives. But despite this, most of us still occupy a position of privilege compared to the majority of those who have lost their lives. Although it doesn't always feel like it, there's still a long way to the bottom. It is easy to fall into despair and fear. But we are here together not only to remember those who have been murdered, but to stand in solidarity with them. To stand in solidarity with each other and to support each other in our sorrow. When you leave tonight, remember, you're not alone. Groups like B exist to provide a space where we can come together for support at times when we are feeling hurt and isolated. So bow your head in respect of the dead, but hold it high in defiance and strength that we can come together to be there for each other. We will always be.
And next speaking is Kai and Sky from Children Northeast.
We're Kai and Sky, Children Northeast, and we go to a group called Plus Group, People Like Us, for young people of the community to come together as one, to know that they're not alone. It's hard now looking at the deaths just over this past year and how a lot of people still so young hide away in fear of not only family, parents, friends, but the government.
I don't know how to start this, but with safety, it's a big issue, really, within everything. I mean, just last week I was in Primark because I was with friends and I was looking for new clothes, and I was going to try stuff on and it was a only female changing room, and they said you can come in to my cisgender female friend but your friend can't. And I said to them, I'm trans, like, does that matter? And they're like, no, it really doesn't matter, we can't come in here. And that's kind of the main thing people don't talk about, the kind of disappointing transphobia that's not really talked about, like the quiet of this. Like, people can look out there and say, I support trans people, I am supportive of them, but then there's those little things that they do that they don't realise is wrong, that they don't realise is bad. And you try to tell them and they say, yeah, but I'm supportive, I'm all right. But they're not. They're doing kind of those bad things that don't help. And when you try to pull them up on that, they say, well, I don't care. This is how I've been raised. And yeah, and I mean, even the safety of trans people is a big concern. I mean, just not the other week, but 2 weeks ago, I was walking home from a good day and I was being followed home and I was being shouted my dead name at. And the fact that I have to put up with that, especially people from my own school who, while being supportive in some stance, I'm still harassed every time I walk into school. I mean, I tried to change schools. I broke down in front of my parents because I couldn't go to a school where I felt safe. Every day I walked into that school knowing I was going to be harassed, and it didn't feel right. It felt horrible, really, knowing that I was one of only two trans kids in our year and I was the only one who was constantly getting harassed. And it felt horrible, really, to just know that I had to come to the school every day no matter what, because there was no other option. And that's horrible. Especially, I mean, trans people in school, it's probably the worst time. People say school is the best time of your lives, but it isn't when you're a trans person, when you're someone of a minority, because all it is abuse hurled at you 24/7, whether it's just your dead name shouted at you on purpose or it's other things like that. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right at all, really.
Looking at other issues, I spent a lot of time last night looking at petitions and where I can sign up to stop the government taking away my rights. Looking at only 12 years, I've been in school 13. So throughout my school years, I've been given rights and they're now being threatened to be taken away. And every petition I've looked at has been rejected. And that's the biggest issue I've seen. And one of the ones that I looked at, it was rejected because it wasn't clear what we were asking for. As a trans youth, I want my rights. I want to be able to vote without being judged. And for me, to be having that taken away is wrong. Growing up for 16 years of my life as a woman and not having many rights anyway, to then coming out and being who I am as a male, to then have my rights taken away again. Something needs to be done. Everyone in government, everyone in big companies, show off in pride, because for them it's a way to make money. For us it's to come together as a family. But over the last few years it doesn't feel like that no more. I feel like now is the best time to come together and to fight for rights. We need some support, whether that be in schools, whether that being allowed to go into a change room as our preferred gender. We need something done. As I said before, so many young people can't come out or feel scared to come out because of this. And now that our rights are being threatened to be taken away, not only the deaths, but discrimination are going to increase. And the pay rate for any trans people, whether that be in any sort of industry, are going to drop because it's going to be seen as all right. We're not back in the 70s no more. Something needs to be done.
I mean, like I was saying before, it's not easy to be a trans teen. I mean, I was at Pride in June, and I was with my friend and I was talking to them after the event, and they said as happy as they were to be seen as a trans person, they never wanted to be seen as trans, as a trans bisexual man. They just wanted to be seen as a bisexual man. And I think that's one of the most true things I've ever heard as a trans person. You'd prefer to just be seen as cisgender. You'd prefer while yes, you can be proud about that, there's always a thought inside of you of you wish you could just be seen as your true gender. And that's what I find hard about me, because sometimes I can look at myself so much and think about, I look like how I want to, but at the same time, do other people still see me as that? Like, you can probably notice my voice is quite deep, and while I can look as great as I want to, I still get dysphoric from knowing that others might not view me as I want to be viewed. And that sucks, really. It's not easy being a trans teen, especially just going outside. It took me so much confidence to go to clothing stores without friends or without anyone there to support me, it was very hard. And believe me, it still is for me when I walk into any sort of clothing store, being afraid to be judged. It's hard to walk into any kind of those stores. And it's not fun, really, to even just walk about the streets not feeling like everyone you pass is looking at you. Like, everyone is... Not you guys, obviously, because you're looking at me giving a speech. But just when you're walking along and someone passes you by and you feel like they're looking at you, it feels like a million eyes are on you at once. And it's not nice.
And before we leave tonight... 5 minutes that we've been given to speak isn't enough time, especially now being 18 and being allowed to vote. It's my generation who now can make a difference. And everyone here tonight, it takes a lot of courage, even just to stand as an ally. And as we pay our respects to the people who are no longer here, now is the time to make change. We shouldn't have to wait for some rich millionaire down in London to make our decisions. We need to make them for ourselves.
And next speaking is Leslie, a representative of Newcastle City Council.
Hello, everyone. Can you all hear me? Yeah. First of all, I just wanted to say thank you so much for allowing me to come along tonight to express my support and solidarity to you at your event. My name's Leslie Storey. I'm the Cabinet Member for A Vibrant City, and in my portfolio is community safety, inequalities issues and hate crime. I really wanted to come along tonight, as I've said, to express my support and solidarity, and to really not only, but also to welcome you here to Newcastle City Council. We welcome you here as trans, non-binary, genderqueer, LGB communities and allies. And here at Newcastle, we'll do all we can to make sure that we have a safe and inclusive city for our thriving and diverse intersectional communities. But as I've heard tonight, and as I've heard very many times before, both in my political career and in my professional life, it isn't safe. It really isn't. And I've been very, very moved tonight by some of the things that I've heard, particularly from some of the younger people. And that makes me very, very sad indeed, I have to say. I want to say to you that here we will stand alongside you. We have a firm commitment to you, and we will work very, very hard to defend your rights for full inclusion and for trans equality, because that is absolutely the right thing. But I also know with horror the continued loss of lives to transphobic violence across the world, and that impacts here in our own communities too. The harmful narratives, the toxic hate crime, and the violence that's directed towards trans people. And I hear very clearly from you tonight, from your communities, that we need to improve. We need to continue to challenge, and we need to continue to improve ourselves. And we are resolute in our commitment towards full equality and the pursuit of a fairer city for all. The link between demonising communities and the harm experienced is clear. Tonight is a roll call of individuals who've lost their lives to such violence, and every single person is a precious life that has been lost. And we mourn for them, and we grieve for them, and we remember them. And that is absolutely the right thing to do. Everyone deserves to be valued, to be treated with respect, and this is not open to debate. Trans lives are not a debate. They should not be a debate, and have been turned into just that by the toxic media. I am appalled by that. And I want to say just lastly, really, to just express love and solidarity with you all tonight. I'm here with Paul Frew, who's also a cabinet member at Newcastle City Council, and you are so very, very welcome here, and our ears are open to hear from you about things that we need to do to improve. Thank you very, very much for welcoming me and giving me the time tonight. Thank you.
Our second last speaker is Lauren from North East Against Racism.
Hi, yeah, I'm Lauren, pronouns she, her. This event is here to talk about the violence faced at the end of many trans people's lives. But it must be remembered that this violence begins right at the start of a trans person's life, when they breathe their first gasp of oxygen in this world, and based on one body part, a category is stamped on that person without their knowledge. That category bleeds out into every social interaction. Their every blink in the mirror, every time they step out of their home, every time they come back to their home, every time they shop for clothes, or sing, or eat, or cry, or don't cry, or laugh, or hug someone, or get spat at on the street, or get told they're beautiful, or watch a rom-com with a man and a woman after the last rom-com with a man and a woman, after the last 21 years of their life looking at men and women and not seeing themselves. And this goes on bleeding until the knife or the bullet or the love and social acceptance makes an unexpected intervention in their life. To be trans is to live dangerously. And I mean that in all its senses, is to be a precarious being, to exist as something more likely to be killed than everyone else, but massively less likely to be grieved. But I also mean the fun, quirky way. To be trans is to be daring, to experiment, to play around with things we've been told are fixed and immutable. Two things can be simultaneously true about us. We just want to get on with our lives. To walk down the street without fear of violence because we've got Lippy on today. And we also want to fight for something better. Something beyond the basics. Somewhere new. Where human beings can experiment without judgment and understand ourselves better than we ever could before. I'm proud to be speaking here on behalf of North East Against Racism. Because the fight against transphobia is an intersectional fight. It crosses international borders. Our history is inseparable from struggles to win workers' rights in Africa, to protect indigenous lands in Brazil, to take down dictatorships in the Middle East. The impulse that drives a man to murder a trans woman for not wearing what he thinks she should is the exact same impulse that drives an Iranian morality police officer to murder a woman for not wearing a hijab in the way that he thinks that she should. The people who push for incarceration, who want people locked in prisons or in migrant detention facilities, are the same people who want us locked in rigid gender categories. It's abolition that will bring about trans liberation. The same mindset that views nature as a resource to be plundered and burned is the same mindset that views human beings as resources to be enslaved and killed. It's the same mindset that sees gender as something to be regulated by the threat of capital punishment. Transphobia is rooted in colonialism. For one example, the Hijra people in India, who defied gender binaries, were celebrated in their communities, given important roles in local politics. That is, until the British came, and in 1864 imported their Buggery Act from way back in 1533, directly criminalising Hijra people and defining them as second-class citizens. This went a long way towards wiping out alternative gender expression in India, and the colonial law was only rescinded in 2019. When your power depends on exploiting people, you sort them into as few categories as possible and use as any means necessary to keep them locked in those boxes. And as we've heard, here's how that colonial history is manifesting itself now. Of the 327 trans and gender diverse people murdered this year, 65% were of racialized identities. 36% of all trans people murdered in Europe were migrants. And here's why this must be addressed internationally. 68% of all the murders registered, and again, the numbers are much higher than the ones registered, 68% of those were registered in Latin America and the Caribbean, and 29% of the total occurred in Brazil. Now, when we go to events like these, and we hear of so much suffering and death and injustice, when we hear the list of names our societies have collectively murdered by ignoring the voices of trans people. It is easy to feel like this is just the way the world is. The violence is everywhere, inescapable, and that there's no alternative. But when we think like that, we're forgetting something pretty vital. Our identity is proof that something better is possible. I've taken part in direct climate action a few times this year, and I can tell you this. I get the exact same feeling sitting down in front of an oil tanker as I do walking down Northumberland Street in a dress. To live as a trans person is to disrupt. To disrupt patriarchy. To disrupt colonial white supremacy. To all the cisgender people here, I ask that you listen to us. Read our books, that you acknowledge your position in the systems that incentivize our murder, and that you speak out against discrimination. And to my fellow trans people, I ask that you tell each other that you love each other. A lot. That you go for walks in the park and play Scrabble and wear what you want to wear and skim stones across a stream on a cool summer's day. That in a world that often wants you dead, you choose to live dangerously. Thank you.
And our last speaker of the night before we read the names is George from Report Out.
Thanks, Jay. Hi, everyone. My name is George. My pronouns are he, they. I'm here today to represent Report Out. And last year, this felt a bit easier. Sorry, Jay, I'm going off script here. It's actually really hard to stay objective and represent a charity when I'm surrounded by all of you lovely people. Because I won't lie to you, it's quite grim. My job is as a human rights researcher. I look at that globally. And yeah, as a lot of people have covered tonight, the statistics tonight are very heavily weighted in South America. And again, those statistics aren't accurate. They are the best that we have. So many countries, there are 13 countries in the world where it is explicitly illegal to be trans or have a diverse gender identity and to express that. Many more, it is illegal to be gay. And in a lot of those countries, they simply don't acknowledge we exist. So it's the manly women and the womanly men who clearly must be, they clearly must be gay, and for that they must be punished. Last year I was asked to do this for the first time, and I was really hoping to find something a little bit more hopeful to say this year. But yeah, it's hard. I'm really sorry, I'm really off script here. My phone is on 5%, but we're going to do what we can. And I have a lot to say about the... Thank you. I have a lot to say about the UK as well, which is really hard when I have to give a global perspective, because all I want to say is a long litany of things I'm not allowed to say because there are some young people in the crowd tonight. But one of the main reasons that I joined Report Out was because I am a massive believer in solidarity and support and mutual aid and... Oh, Jay, you start. Isn't he good? So, yeah, one of the reasons I joined Report Out is queer solidarity and mutual aid. I don't know if you can tell, I'm from Northumberland, I'm from a pit town, so solidarity is like a thing. But I think being here at night, surrounded by all you lovely people, this is one of the most wonderful acts of solidarity and mutual aid that we could ever do for each other. And it's a big nod to our organisers tonight, because this is sombre but wonderful. But I'd like to be a little bit less depressing, if that's okay with all of you. and I'd like to talk about some good things that have happened in the last year around the world, because we're going to hear a lot of sad things, and we already have heard a lot of sad things. But in Spain this year, there's been legislation passed to make it easier for trans youth to change their gender. That's, which, you know, something we're really struggling with in the UK at the minute. In Mexico, again, it's been ruled that under 18s are allowed to change their gender. In New Zealand, they've banned conversion therapy for trans people, a step ahead of the UK. Yep. And Chile has elected its first ever openly trans person to its national congress. Now, these victories don't sound monumental in the face of over 300 names that we're about to hear. But they are victories, and they've only happened because of people like us tonight, trans people and their allies who come together, make waves, make noise, and stand. And for that, I'd like to say thank you to all of you. Because I don't know about any of you, but being round the front of the Civic Centre has been a little bit nerve-wracking whenever a person or a car has come by. Yeah, I think we're all monumentally brave tonight. Thank you.
A song's going to play, and while that song's playing, we're going to hand out candles to you all. I'm going to be assisted by MCC to do that, so thank you to them. We'll ask you to light your candles. I'd appreciate if anybody does have their own lighters or matches, because I was not expecting this many people, so I did not buy enough. And then after the song plays, if all the name readers could start making the way to the front, there's no particular order, and we'll read all 327 names this year.
In the streets all alone. Another night to strike at the gates. Making yourself up as you go along. Who's gonna take you home tonight? Who's gonna take you home? Who's gonna take you home tonight? Who's gonna take you home? Does God bless your transsexual hearts? True trans or rebel? Yet to be born, you're already dead. Gun beside you in bed. Follow it through to be obvious. See your veins wide open. You bleed it out. Who's gonna take you home tonight? Who's gonna take you home? Who's gonna take you home tonight? Who's gonna take you home? Does God bless your transcendence? Hearts, true trans or rebel. Oh, you should have been a mother, should have been a wife, should have been gone from here years ago. You should be living a different life. Who's gonna take you home tonight? Who's gonna take you home? Who's gonna take you home tonight? Who's gonna take you home? Who's gonna take you home tonight? Who's gonna take you home? Does God bless your transsexual heart?